11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to KCAW in Sitka, where the temperature is 40 degrees under overcast skies. I'm Chris Todd with Raven News. The FDA is considering approving genetically engineered salmon to be sold in the United States. That has sparked renewed protests by opponents of genetically modified organisms, or GMOs. Senator Mark Begich on Thursday of last week introduced two bills in the U.S. Senate that would ban these new salmon. KCAW's Ann Bryce attended a demonstration in Sitka on Saturday and has this report.
About 100 people rallied in Sitka to protest what they see as the first step in introducing scientifically modified animals into the American diet. For Southeast Alaska, it's especially worrisome because the area depends largely on fishing for its livelihood. Lance Preston owns and operates a troller called the Sea Boy in Sitka. He's made a living as a fisherman since 1993 and says these new fish could bankrupt Alaska.
Commercial fishing is the number one employer in the entire state, and the vast majority of those jobs are salmon jobs. So it's really the economic engine of the state. It's a big deal. I mean, it's put the state out of business. You'll watch the population decline and suffer.
Nicknamed Frankenfish by critics, this new fish is an Atlantic salmon developed with genes from a Pacific salmon to make it grow faster and a gene from an eel to promote year-round growth. Protesters Saturday said they're worried the genetically engineered salmon could escape aquatic farms and crossbreed with wild fish. The company behind developing this new hybrid is called Aqua Bounty. It's a biotech company in Massachusetts, and it spent more than $67 million and three decades to develop this new species. It claims that the fish are not a threat to wild stocks and that the genetic modifications are no greater than changes that occur naturally. The FDA is now in a 60-day public comment period. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ann Bryce.
For more information about the FDA's pending approval process of genetically engineered salmon, or to leave a comment on the agency's website, visit kcaw.org. There's a link for you. A joint work session between the Sitka School Board and the Assembly last week hit all the usual notes. Both groups expect to make cuts this year to plug budget shortfalls, and both will need to either share the pain or help each other heal the wounds left once those cuts are made. But as KCAW's Ed Ronco reports, the city and the school board also played around with the idea of becoming their own insurance agents.
The bad news for the city and the school district came earlier this year. Health insurance rates could go up by 25%. For the school district, it would mean an extra $600,000 into the budget. For the city, up to about $380,000. That's when Assemblymember Tor Christensen floated the idea of self-insuring. The school district and the city would potentially abandon their current insurance provider and instead run their own system for health claims. He said it could save the city money, keep money spent on health care within Sitka, and even bolster the bottom line at the city-owned Sitka Community Hospital. If the plan did well among city and school district employees, Christensen said it could be opened up to small businesses or nonprofits in town.
So if we could reduce the cost of health care in Sitka and reduce the cost of health care in Sitka for everybody, it would just be so nice.
You're very emphatic about this.
Yes, I am. Sorry.
No, why?
Because it's a huge problem that we actually have the tools in Sitka to fix. I mean, not very few towns can say that. But because we're an island and because we have the hospital, we actually have the things we can do to, if not fix it, make it better.
Mayor Mim McConnell said she was in favor of exploring the idea, but City Finance Director Jay Sweeney sounded a note of caution. By self-insuring, the district and the city would take on the risk of someone making a catastrophic claim that would require a large payout. But Sweeney also said he's worked for two organizations that have self-insured, and in both cases, he said those companies saved money. As for the school district side,
I'd be a big supporter of it.
School board President, you know, Lon Garrison.
If we can solve our own problems as a community and benefit from that, then we build our own resilience. And it just seems to me that makes a heck of a lot of sense.
But Garrison also said if it happens at all, it won't be soon.
You know, it's something we can't do this year and get in place. I'd be surprised if, you know, you could do it even within a year. I would think that it's going to take some time. and we don't have the expertise to do it.
Assemblymember Pete Esquiro suggested getting an outside consultant to tell Sitka whether it's possible and what the program would potentially look like. And it's worth noting right now, it's just an idea. The meeting between the school board and the assembly was informational only. But the scalpels are sharpened in anticipation of some drastic surgery on the city and school district budgets. And it's likely that both groups into the spring will be looking for long-term fixes beyond their annual trimming. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
Every 5 years, the Forest Service must reevaluate how it's managing the national forests. The Tongass National Forest Land and Resource Management Plan was last updated in 2008. It's under review again this year, and the Forest Service is asking Southeast community members for their input. Austin O'Brien, District Staff Officer for the Timber Program in the Wrangell-Rangel District, explains what kind of feedback they're hoping to get.
We're looking for things that are working, information on for people that think things are working well, but also at the same time, we're looking at things that could be done differently that might kind of improve the services that we provide.
He says community comment is important because it brings a local voice to a plan that deals with regional issues. The plan covers a wide range of management topics, including timber, recreation, and open lands.
The plan sets the harvest limits on the forest. That's one of the major things it does. It also designates the different land use areas. So we break the forest up into different land use designations where certain activities are permitted or encouraged, and then maybe some are not.
O'Brien says they are encouraging people to think about the big picture of the Tongass when commenting. He says feedback on very specific issues should be directed to local Forest Service offices.
The one thing about the forest plan is it doesn't drill down into real specific details as to, a particular campsite necessarily type of thing. The more specific plans are usually held at a district level. But this is more of a broad look on how the Tongass is managed.
You can get more information about the five-year review on the Forest Service website by going to fs.usda.gov. A piece of legislation that would roll back discharge regulations on cruise ships could appear on the Senate floor this week. It's already passed in the House, and the Senate Finance Committee invited the public to comment on it last week. APRN's Alexandra Gutierrez reports.
The testimony lasted for more than 2 hours, even though the committee had planned to meet for only 90 minutes. And for the most part, the people who spoke expressed concern that the cruise ship wastewater bill could damage the marine environment. Here's Bernard Richard, a resident of Anchorage.
I guess I'm a little bit perplexed right now that we would risk changing the perception of purity and environmental beauty.
The bill he's talking about would scrap a requirement that cruise ships meet stricter water standards by 2016. Under a rule put in place by a 2006 Citizens Initiative, vessels would eventually have to make sure they're not releasing an excess of ammonia or copper at the point of discharge. This bill would let them release waste into mixing zones instead, like ferries or municipal treatment plants. Advocates of the bill say it's unfair for cruise ships to be held to a different standard, and they say that cruise ships are already using advanced wastewater treatment technology. John Binkley is the president of the Alaska Cruise Association and spoke in support of the bill.
The ballot initiative moved the bar to a different level that was unattainable.
Binkley cited a report issued by a state panel of engineers, scientists, and fishing and cruise industry representatives that there wasn't evidence to prove that further technological upgrades would provide significant environmental benefit. But critics of the bill took issue with that statement. Chip Toma was invited to testify on behalf of Alaskans for Responsible Cruising, and he says that most of the cruise fleet is already complying with the stricter discharge requirements.
It's not impossible because we're meeting them.
Questions were also raised about the impact that copper levels have on salmon health and migration. The Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation has previously stated that they would like to see action on the bill by February 15th, so they can begin work on their discharge permits. In Juneau, I'm Alexandra Gutierrez.
Work at the Capitol has been moving at a swift pace, with nearly one-third of the 90-day session already over. The Senate Finance Committee is set to start digging into the Capitol budget. The budget tends to include infrastructure projects and regional or district-level projects important to individual lawmakers. Senate leaders, in describing the budget the last few years, have referred to it as healthy and robust, a level needed to help keep the economy humming. The size of the budget hasn't fallen below $2 billion since fiscal year 2005. That's according to the Legislative Finance Division. But expectations for next year's budget are being tempered. Leaders in both the House and Senate say they want to rein in spending amid continued forecasts of declining oil production and spending levels that many legislators deem unsustainable. Governor Sean Parnell, who has shown his willingness in the past to cut capital budgets he considers too bloated, has called on lawmakers to agree to an overall spending limit. And the House and Senate resources are scheduled to officially begin their work on Parnell's proposed oil tax overhaul. Senate Resources has been holding informational hearings, helping to lay the groundwork for the bill's arrival. A special Senate committee on oil flow through the Trans-Alaska Pipeline last week advanced the proposal SB 21 in the Senate, but in an accompanying letter of intent, said the action was in no way an expression of support for the measure in its current form. And at about 30 seconds past the hour of 8 o'clock, that's Raven News for this hour. You're listening to KCAW in Sitka. The weather today is expected to be cloudy with some scattered rain showers, highs reaching about 40 degrees for Sitka and Port Alexander, south winds 10 to 20 miles decreasing to 5 to 15. By later this morning, currently 40 degrees under overcast skies. Good morning.